Hey, what is up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Going Deep with Aaron Watson. This is episode 229, and much like episode 196 with Elaine Heaney, today's episode is going to change the lives of a few listeners. My guest, Bryce Conway, is a travel hacker and credit master. He came on the show to explain how he exploits the bonuses and reward programs associated with different credit cards to travel the world at ridiculously cheap prices. We walk through how he took a $28,000 trip to Thailand for less than $300. And at his website, 10xtravel.com, he goes through multiple other case studies, like when he took his wife to Paris on a $3,000 trip for less than $300, and many, many more. I've only dipped my toe into the travel hacking world before today's interview, but I left my conversation with Bryce with an appetite whetted for future exploring and hacking. I know that you're going to learn a lot and get excited to see the world. Here is my conversation with Bryce Conway.
You're listening to Going Deep with Aaron Watson.
Welcome to Going Deep with Aaron Watson. I am excited to learn some travel hacks from you today.
I'm excited to be here, Aaron. I appreciate it.
I want to start off just by having you explain to folks what your website, 10X Travel, is all about. I was introduced to you by a mutual friend and have just kind of dipped my toe into some of the travel hacking stuff. But can you just explain what you do on the website and maybe a little bit about how you got it started?
Sure. So 10X Travel, I guess publicly we say and have to say, 10X Travel is a website that discusses the use of points and miles as they are used to travel. So we write about how to earn them quickly, how to redeem them for maximum value, and all sorts of things. The term that we use really internally and around our world is called travel hacking. You won't see us say that a lot publicly because you run into some advertiser issues with that. And you also, a lot of people just hear that and they think that sounds really sketchy. So, but that's what we do. We talk about travel hacking, which is just ways of saving a ton of money on travel by using those points and miles I discussed and earning and redeeming them in very creative ways. So I started the website in the fall of 2013 with some help from a friend. It had been a couple years prior to that where I was kind of known as the go-to resource for all of my friends on how to use their points and miles and such. And as you see in most entrepreneurial circles, or as they say, when people keep coming to you with the same problem and asking for a solution, that's when you start a business. And that's how 10X Travel got started.
Nice. So I'm really curious just how your interest was piqued or how you became that expert before trying to turn it into a business. Like, where did you first kind of whet your appetite for travel hacking?
Yeah, great question. So I'll take you back to day one. So my interest in travel hacking got started in the winter of my senior year of college. I went to Ohio State. It was freezing cold in January. And that's when everyone starts talking about, what are you going to start doing for spring break? So I was completely like flat broke. So I knew, I'm not going to be able to do anything special for spring break. I'm probably going to end up going home. But I was pretty determined to at least look into some options to see what I could find. So I pulled up my computer and I literally Googled how to travel for cheap and a bunch of other similar searches, how to travel for free. I was looking for like the opportunities you hear about where if you do like a couple of days of labor, someone will help pay for your trip, or if you carry some last minute package or do some mission work or something. I was really looking for something like that and couldn't find anything. It turns out those are largely a myth. And I closed my computer, went on with my life, decided, you know what, it turns out I'm not going to get to go on spring break because I can't afford it. And over the coming days, I noticed that every pop-up advertisement on the internet that I would see anymore was for airline credit cards. All of them offering things like, hey, open this card, we'll give you a free flight, we'll give you 50,000 points. All these very lucrative offers that it looked particularly lucrative to a broke college senior who was looking for a free trip. So I picked one that I thought looked good. It said it was going to give me two free flights. I signed up. I was approved despite having like you know, $5,000 a year of income from a college job. And I jumped through the couple of hoops I had to jump through, and I actually got two free flights. I was shocked. I was like, it couldn't be that easy, could it? So I ended up cashing in those flights to fly from Ohio to Florida for spring break, the first half of the spring break, and then from Florida to Las Vegas for the second half, and then from Vegas home. And it all was for like $11 in taxes or something like that. So I went, I had an awesome spring break, came back, and some of my friends legitimately thought, like, is Bryce dealing drugs now? You know, how could you afford that? You went from, hey, I can't come at all, to actually let's do Florida and Las Vegas for spring break. So I was kind of asking myself that question. I was like, how does that work? Why was that so easy? So I started searching for, you know, why wouldn't I just do this every time? Like, is this going to wreck my credit score? Are the banks or the police going to come and get me? Is this illegal? So I started digging into it a bit, and it's not. Like, my credit score went up, which was shocking to me at the time, because you're always told, you know, stay away from new credit. That's really bad for you, which is not always the case. We can get into that in a bit. I ended up getting more offers in the mail from banks looking to get me credit cards. And I was like, this could become a self-perpetuating cycle. And that's how I got into it. So I started doing this pretty much anytime I wanted to go somewhere, I would kind of solve backward. Like, okay, I want to go to Europe. So what airlines fly there? What are their credit cards offering? And you can kind of construct trips like that. So when you do that enough, and your friends see on social media that you're traveling all the time, and, you know, I'm out at parties and people are constantly asking how I do it, how I afford it. And naturally, when you say, you know, I'm able to do it for free using steps 1, 2, 3, people get really interested in that sort of thing, of course. So I wrote an email out that explained like all the basics of how everything works. And I use that as kind of my social defense. Like, when I go to parties, I'd always end up getting cornered by a bunch of people, and it would turn into kind of like a spontaneous like lecture on how this works. And I was tired of that. I wanted to interact with my friends. So I would just say, hey, look, what's your email? I'm going to send you this. Please leave me alone so I can, you know, enjoy myself, and let's talk about something other than travel and points. And then I would expand upon that email based on the feedback I get from people or common questions. And that eventually turned into an ebook, and that turned into the site.
Nice. I mean, I love that organic growth story. I think that that's something that, you know, the story just about entrepreneurship in general is that it's this grind. You have to just push against every conceivable force to make something happen. So it's cool to hear that story of something growing organically like that. You hinted at the credit score conversation. I'm assuming most people know what a credit score is, but there's a lot of kind of a black box nature to that. So I'm curious how you talk about credit score to people, because I think when I think about it, I know it's something that's very important. It was instilled with me at a young age. You know, that's something that is going to be how you get a home loan. That's going to change like the type of interest that you have to pay on other loans. And now you even hear stuff about like that's going into some interview processes. It's actually something that large corporations are using to qualify potential applicants for jobs. But as it pertains to opening up these different credit cards, getting these different bonuses, what have you learned? What do you tell people? I know I'm kind of guilty of what these people at parties are doing to you, but what are some of the most important things that people need to understand about their credit score?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest overarching theme is that credit really is not complicated. There's a lot of information about there that makes it sound like, you know, if you pay your bills on the fourth day of, you know, the second full moon of the month, your credit's going to be affected like this and that, and don't do this little subtle thing because that'll wreck your score. And the reality is that most of that is not true. It's people trying to make credit sound harder than it is, usually to justify some sort of business purpose. And I do see the irony here in that I did write and sell a book about how credit works. But really, credit is simple. Your credit is based on how you use existing credit. Are you making all your payments on time? Are you using too much of the credit that's extended to you? How long have you had your credit? So when people say things like, you know, don't open new cards, that's going to wreck your score, that's really just a bad game of telephone. Because when I say to you, Aaron, I have 20 credit cards, what's the first assumption that you probably make about me?
Yeah, I'll say you must be underwater or something.
Right. You probably think I have a huge spending problem and lots of credit card debt. So those bad things get misattributed to, that's bad for your credit score, when it's really not the case. In fact, I do a lot of credit repair work with thousands and thousands of readers, and there's no faster way to improve your credit score than to put 10 or 15 new credit cards on your credit report by opening them. So because credit is based on how you use existing credit, by opening a lot of cards and always using them responsibly, I'm just stacking the deck. I'm completely loading my credit report with positive data. So when I started, my score was in like the low 700s, which is, you know, kind of common for, I don't really pay attention to credit, but I've never had a major issue. And now it's consistently above 800 because I have like 78 accounts on my credit report that are all making on-time payments every single month or not being used at all. And I have like $250,000 to my name in terms of credit capacity. So it looks like I'm a huge baller when it comes to credit, but it's only because I've kind of stacked the deck there.
So it's really much more about, like you said, paying on time, but you also talked about not using too much of it. So one of the other ones I've heard, and maybe this is just another example of the phone thing, is you never want, even if you're paying it on time, to not be using more than like 30 or 40% of your available credit limit, as opposed to kind of always going up. Like if I have a $10,000 credit limit and spending $9,000 every month, that can be potentially worrisome.
Yeah, no, that actually is, in my opinion, probably the most misunderstood part of credit. It's called credit utilization. It's the second biggest factor that goes into your score behind your on-time payment history. And you're right. If you use too high a percentage of your credit limits, even if you're paying your bills on time every single month, it will start to negatively affect your score. So I run into a lot of folks that have too little credit. As you mentioned, if you're spending more than 30 or 40% of your credit line each month, and even if you're paying it off on time, that is harming your score. So you have to go out and get yourself some more credit. Ideally shoot to stay below 10% at all times.
And the other thing that is helpful to that end is, you know, most people think of, how am I going to get more credit? I'm going to open up a new card. And if they're playing the games like you are and really primarily focused on racking up points and being able to take all these amazing trips like we're going to get to in a second, then that's obviously part of the game as well. But the other side of that, if you're really just thinking about credit in terms of, you know, better rates on my mortgage, better rates on a car loan, and some of these other factors, the existing cards you have, you can call in and request a credit increase. You can't do that, you know, every day or every month, but you, every 6-12 months or so, you can actually call your existing credit card company and get that increased, which is one of those little things that not a lot of people realize. But by raising that limit, if you're still maintaining the same spending, you're lowering the percentage of your credit that you're using.
Right. And what it really all comes back to, Aaron, is there's no such thing as too much credit. If you're able to get, you know, $300,000 or $400,000 of available credit limits, that's only going to help your score. And then you're never going to run into a utilization issue. So yeah, get as much as you can, provided, of course, that doesn't lead to spending issues and debt. But having it out there is really helping a lot. And then in regards to raising your credit limits with current cards, I think the one question you always want to ask is, are you going to pull my credit for this? So most banks don't, but some will, as if they're processing a new application. And if they're going to do that, why would you raise your limit when for the same credit pull, you could get a new card with a different bank and a bonus that's worth $500 to $1,000 of travel? So that's our theory, is if you're going to have your credit pulled, you might as well go and get something for it.
Absolutely. Now, I want to kind of switch gears here a little bit and talk about the practical application of accruing these points and travel miles and all this stuff. But, you know, in doing research for this interview, you have some eye-popping case studies. One was a $24,000 trip to Thailand for $166. Mm-hmm. Another one, a $3,263 trip to Paris for $266. And the list goes on and on. Is there a particular trip that you'd point to as like my finest work or the best execution of these? And can you take us through how this travel hacking actually works for a specific trip?
Yeah, and good question. And the one that I always point to is the Thailand one that you mentioned, because I took a number of steps in that trip where I'm really just trying to show off, I guess, like, look what I can do with points. As you were right, it ended up being a little over $28,000 for a couple hundred bucks in fees. Without diving like too deep into the weeds and how I did it, the kind of general thesis of it is I opened like 5 or 6 credit cards to cover that with the point bonuses, and ended up using them for first class flights there and home, 5-star hotels the entire way, one of which was bigger than my 4-bedroom house here in the suburbs. Like, our room was had outdoor hot tub and 3 bathrooms, and just an insanely cool trip. And it's all, you know, detailed on my blog and where you found it. But I was able to do that with only 5 or 6 credit card bonuses and just kind of knowing where to push. Like, I'll give you one specific example. At the time, and actually still now, first class flights on United and Star Alliance partners from North America to Asia are only 80,000 miles each way, which is one of the better values you'll find out there in the points world. And the United credit card, for example, right now today offers a sign-up bonus of 70,000 miles. So just by opening that one card like right now and putting up, a few months of organic spend on it or using it to pay a mortgage and such, you could earn a first-class ticket to Asia, which would usually retail for $4,000 to $7,000. I think mine was like $8,000 something. It was on the new 787 Dreamliner, lay flat seats. It had the window shades that are electronic, like the plane, still had that new plane smell about it. And I got that for like one credit card and a little bit of organic spending. So these bonuses that you see out there, they can seem a little confusing to the average person because like what does 50,000 points like in a vacuum get you? Most people have no idea. But when you know where to look and you take advantage of some of the resources out there, you can score some insanely, insanely good deals.
Yeah. And the other thing that I'm curious to ask you about is how you stay on top of all the deals. So obviously you have a really, like you said, 78 cards or whatever, a large quantity of cards that are coming to you. But, someone who's starting off might say like, well, what's card number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? And how do I find these deals? Because also what happens, from reading some of these case studies, there's cards that have a deal, and then a bunch of people who are in this kind of travel hacking space with really good credit go in, take advantage of it, exploit it, and then they shut it down or they change the incentives or the bonuses, and it's no longer something that can be utilized. So where do you go to find these deals, and how do you go about evaluating them?
Yeah, so this is where it helps to rely on the experts in the space. Going to blogs, like mine or like, there's dozens of others that are similar to that. Reading what we think are the best cards out there and why, I think is a great place to start. But also looking at forums, like there's a subreddit called Churning, which is entirely dedicated to the like churning of credit cards or travel hacking, that regularly discusses what are the best deals out there because they do change all the time. Or if you kind of want to do it on yourself or on your own, just read very thoroughly into the terms and conditions and specifically look at what your points will get you. So, for example, a lot of people fall for the trap of just picking the highest point amount. Like card A is offering 100,000 points, card B is offering 50,000. 100,000 must always be greater than 50,000, right? And that's not true. And in fact, there's a lot of points out there that are really like worthless, and they'll trick you by showing you a high number. So,
can you give an example of that? Like something?
Yeah. Like, so the 2 point programs that we widely pan are Hilton and Delta. So Hilton, if you hop on their website right now and run a search for just pick whatever your next trip is. Let's say I'm going to Disney World and I need a hotel for 2 nights and see how many points they want. What you're going to find, spoiler alert here, is that most of their higher end hotels will go for 60 to 85,000 points per night. Whereas compare that to like a Starwood or a Hyatt that'll only ask for 20 to 25,000 points per night. So when you see the Hilton card at 100,000, a lot of people jump and like, wow, what a huge deal. But when you actually dig into it, that's like one, maybe 2 nights at some of their decent to upper end properties. Whereas you look at on the other side of the spectrum, Starwood, which gets completely overlooked because A, no one has any idea what Starwood is. But that's a whole portfolio of hotels that you've definitely heard of. And B, their card usually only gives you about 25,000 points to sign up. But when Starwood properties are going for 7 to 10,000 points per night, that's 2 to 4 nights at some of their properties. That's a better deal overall. Like if you said, Bryce, you can choose between 100,000 Hilton points or 25,000 Starwood points, I'm taking the Starwood points every single time.
Gotcha. So kind of wrapping this all up for some people, when they're obviously we want them to head over to 10x Travel and learn, the basics of this and check out all the great resources that you've put together. But for people that are maybe wary, maybe they're nervous, they're still unsure because it just kind of feels, quite frankly, like you look at some of these numbers and one of the things that goes off in your head is this has to be too good to be true. I'm sure you get that often, but how else would you assuage those fears and help them recognize what an opportunity this is?
That's a great question. So my first kind of general thought to that is if you go through life avoiding things that seem too good to be true just because they sound that way, where you're afraid to dig into it because it sounds like it's some sort of risk or scam, you're not going to get anywhere. You got to look into some of those types of risks, because that's really where a lot of the fruit of life lies, in my opinion. But in terms of, you know, travel hacking specifically, there's a few things about it, I think, that make it a no-brainer to try. The first is that it's free. Like the sites like mine, all of my peers in the space, we don't charge money for our services. So when people are worried about, is this some sort of scam, you have nothing to lose. There's no capital going into this. We're simply teaching you something for free. And then secondly, everything here is mathematical and logical. And what I mean by that is that we know, for example, exactly how travel hacking is going to affect your credit score, because your credit is calculated the exact same as the 340 million other Americans with credit scores. So we know for a fact that this is going to help it, not hurt it. So it's not like, you know, fitness or something where it's like, well, it's a little different for everyone, or we'll see how it works for you. Like, we know exactly how this is going to work for you. We've seen it work tens of thousands of times with my readers alone. So there's no, I guess, variance risk is what I'm getting to. It's purely factual. So dig into it. My challenge to folks who are looking at travel hacking is always, tell me why this won't work. Like, I'm, you know, you're going to come into it with assumptions of, I don't think that I'm going to be able to take this trip like they say, or I think it's going to hurt my credit score. That's fine that you think that. Just try to prove it to yourself. Because when you start digging into, well, how, you know, what are these points going to get me, or what is the effect of closing a card, your credit score, you're going to find fact-based answers that are going to surprise you. So try to find why this wouldn't work, and you'll be digging for a long time, and eventually you'll hopefully see the light.
Yeah, and if you end up seeing a little bit more of the world, it can't hurt.
Certainly not.
Before we wrap up here, Bryce, you did mention that you and a lot of these other sites, they're not charging anything for this information. Can you talk just briefly about how your business works, running a site like this, all the, you know, thousands of people that come to your site, how you make money?
Yeah, so we are entirely affiliate-based. And what that means is, as I mentioned earlier, we never collect a dime from our readers. We are compensated by advertisers, which are right now almost exclusively like banks and credit card companies, some other financial products that are free to our users. So simply by coming to our site, learning what we do, and doing it from us, we get paid for that. So I think it's the best business setup I've ever been a part of, to where we can provide immense value to our readers at no cost to them, and we're still able to get compensated for it. So it's really a win-win.
I love it. And I encourage people to check it out. The site, once again, is 10xtravel.com. Any other digital coordinates that we can point them to, Bryce?
That's the best place to find me, and everything starts there. You can email me specifically with questions. It's Bryce with a Y at 10xtravel.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you just search Bryce Conway, I'm going to be the first hit for any of those. But yeah, I just really encourage people to specifically reach out. Tell me where you want to go. I can help you through the process. We also have some folks on staff now at 10X Travel that can really just hold your hand the entire way and help bring you into this wonderful hobby.
Cool. Well, we'll be linking to all of that at the show notes, goingdeepwithaaron.com/podcast, the best place to find it for those of you driving, running, or working out. But as we do at the end of every episode, I'm going to give Bryce the mic one final time to issue an actionable personal challenge to the audience.
Yeah. So I have a couple of them, if that's okay, Aaron. I was thinking about this a lot.
I love it.
The first is the easy one we've been talking about. I want you to just, even if it's not from my site, I want you to just Google travel hacking, and I want you to dig into it and see if it's going to apply to your life. I think you're going to be really, really transformed by that. But then the second is in regards to entrepreneurship, because I know that this has changed my life for the better equally compared to travel hacking. I want you to think about what it is that you do. And what I mean by that is, how would people describe you? So like Aaron's a podcaster. Bryce is good with points and miles. What is your thing? Or otherwise said, if you had to give a speech on some subject to a large audience 1 hour from now, what would that subject be? I want you to write that down. We're going to call that your thing. And then the second part of that is, I want you to think of 2 to 3 ways that you can make a business out of that. So let's say, for example, your thing is you're cooking pasta. People are always texting you, how do I cook pasta like you do? Because it's amazing when it comes to your dinner parties. I want you to write down cooking pasta on one piece of paper, and I want you to hang it up somewhere visibly. And then I want you to take 2 or 3 ideas of how you could turn that into a business and do the same. So you could say, I could make YouTube videos on how to cook pasta. I could do cooking classes and charge people $50 on how to cook pasta. I could start a Twitter with recipes and sell a cookbook on how to cook pasta. I want you to write down those ideas. I want you to put them in places that are visible where you're going to encounter them kind of in what I'd call like a pattern interrupt. So for example, put one on your bathroom mirror. So when you're brushing your teeth, you look up and you're just constantly reminded, I have a skill, there's a market out there for it. And what that's going to do is it's going to keep you thinking about how you could start a business or really get into that world. And hopefully that'll start you down that path of entrepreneurship and really get you going to something that could be life-changing.
I love that. And, you know, one thing I really, you know, think about more and more every day is the spaces that you occupy the most, your kitchen, your bedroom, your office, the way those are organized are actually very much representative of how things are organized within your mind. And, you know, the posters, I can still see the posters that I had in like my college dorm in my head, and they're kind of imprinted there. So imprinting that into your thought process is just a fantastic idea and a unique challenge, which is something that we always love to get on the show. So thank you so much for that, Bryce. Thank you so much for all the big ideas that you've shared today and for sharing your time with us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, Aaron. I appreciate you having me, and hopefully we'll do it again at some point.
Absolutely. Maybe we'll do it after we travel somewhere on some points.
we'll make a case study out of you, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, once again, thank you so much. We just went deep with Bryce Conway of 10X Travel. Hope everyone out there has a fantastic day. Hey, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Please make sure you hit subscribe if you've not already done so. Head on over to 10X Travel and check out all those amazing travel hacks that Bryce and his team have put together. And get excited for some of our forthcoming episodes. On the docket, we have a couple of big guests, including Andy Ratcliffe, the founder of Wealthfront, and Kim Scott, the author of Radical Candor, a forward-thinking management style that she's brought from Google and Apple and is now sharing with the world. That and many, many more great episodes coming up on Going Deep with Aaron Watson.
Thanks for listening. Connect with Aaron on Twitter and Instagram at AaronWatson59.